podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
For someone who's the same height as me, pretty much, he looked really commanding in
bullshit.
The air.
Bullshit. I've met you.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Clash of the Correspondents. My name's James, and on the first or two consecutive Clash of the Correspondents, I welcome two of our correspondents ahead of their double game week in what is now a treble game week 35 for Manchester United. Firstly, let me introduce you to Ted Moore at Rotation FPL, our Chelsea correspondent. How are you, Ted? Stop smiling.
I am very happy, mate. I am very happy. What a night.
Good man. Many congratulations on last night, mate. And let me introduce you to Adam Pritchard at 3-5, who our Arsenal correspondent. How are you, Adam?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Slightly less jubilant, but all things considered.
We're all looking forward to watching you fuck it up tonight, mate. Because everybody's getting quite giddy about the prospects of obviously four English clubs being in the European finals again in Turkey and Poland. But we've got no chance of UEFA moving the venues for the finals if it does happen. Absolutely none, unfortunately. Ted, must start with yourself. Congratulations on last night. Genuinely, how are you feeling this morning?
Wow. Yeah, that was a... Oh, God, it was nervous. Yeah, it's absolutely thrilled. It was such a good performance last night. And to beat Madrid, I mean, they're such a big name. It feels nice. I've missed this. It has been far too long.
When you say you've missed this, what does that mean?
Being back in the Champions League final. I mean, I was 12 when it happened before. So this is the first time that I feel like I've been able to properly enjoy the journey, you know, without having to worry about stupid stuff that work when you're a kid. It's just incredible. I love it so much.
When you're 12, you don't have to worry about the hangovers and stuff, though, mate.
That's, yeah. Fair point.
It's obviously extremely impressive. I feel like you and I have been kind of on a journey talking through Chelsea the last couple of months in terms of, obviously, Lampard going, Tuchel taking over, not being too sure if it was the right fit. It feels like 3-4 months on, what we've seen is almost what we didn't expect in terms of how defensively solid you look. Am I right in saying the West Brom game is the only game you've conceded at home since he took over, I think, I want to say? Which includes European games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been incredible. It's not just, you know, how well disciplined and how calm our defensive line's been, which I think is quite a bit down in thanks to Thiago Silva's presence as well. But also our midfield is so much better in shielding them. Last night we're playing with sort of three sat in front instead of the normal two. Just the sort of protection it offers, stopping teams from putting those balls in behind, because our defence arguably isn't the most mobile. It's really impressive. It's been a huge step up. A lot of these players are looking so much better. I think Kante, I mean, he's been exceptional over the last two legs.
It was unbelievable last night. What is his diet, mate? Because we don't copy it if we know.
It is absolutely crazy, isn't it? Like performing like that during Ramadan, running at the Real Madrid defence and having them actively backing up against him is pretty incredible. So he's really stepped up recently. I think the change to having Tuchel in there has really helped him. Jorginho, as much as it pains me to say it, has been very, very good. Has even looked better defensively. In transition, he's even looked a bit more solid. So it's been a real improvement. I don't know if it's just mentality or if there's a degree of fitness improving, possibly, from some of these players, because they look a lot better. Absolutely loved it. So good. And Mendy as well. Wow.
You made some big saves last night.
Yeah, some huge saves. I mentioned in some of the previous ones we've done that he wasn't signed to be like a world-class goalkeeper, right? I had no idea who he was when he joined the club. I'm happy to admit that.
He just wasn't really kept up.
Yeah.
Basically.
Basically, yeah. He's been making the saves that he needs to make. Like, how can I possibly complain about that? What a guy. Love it.
I've not been convinced about him, as I've said to you before, about Mendy. But obviously, yes, a step up on Kepa. But I think, actually, at big times and big moments, particularly the save from Benzema last night, was a brilliant save.
Which one?
Well, the one that he tipped round kind of low on his left-hand side, because he can't have got a good view on that at all, because it was obviously shielded. The shot was bent round someone. Yeah. Brilliant save.
Foot extension.
With big moments. Are you Ted won over yet by this three at the back? Because you weren't keen at all.
I still don't like it against non-big clubs, if that makes sense. In these sort of games, like against Real Madrid, yeah, I'm fully back, a back five. It really suits us for sort of tournament football, where you've got sort of one, two legs that you have to win, rather than sort of, I think, league games. It's a bit less suited against these teams that can, you know, change their style up or whatever. So for that, I'd like to drop to a back four. I have mentioned it in previous pods that that is something that Tuchel's very much looking at, and it came out, I think it was 2 days ago. I think the Telegraph put out a story talking that Tuchel's looking at moving to a 4-2-4 or some relation to that.
Yeah, I read that as well, yeah.
And that makes complete sense to me, because we've got so many attacking options and we do need more going forwards against these sort of weaker teams where we don't need to have the five defenders plus two holding midfielders. So I think that's a really good change. But yeah, against Real Madrid's, against your Atleticos, against your Portos, against your Cities, maybe not against Arsenal, you can play a back five.
So back three, a serious question then. What would you prefer, back three or back four against Arsenal?
I think I'd probably prefer a back four against the current Arsenal. We've played Arsenal enough now to know that, you know, on their day they can be a really good team and they can really frustrate us. But I'd like us to try and make sure we can get a goal, because I'm slightly nervous they might clam up quite a bit. We'll see. Adam will know better than me.
Well, Adam, last time you sat here with Ted on a COTC was before the FA Cup final, and that obviously went very well for you. What's happening with the Gunners tonight? How are you feeling about the game?
Not good. I think in terms of how I'm feeling, it's just so apt that on, I think it might be the anniversary of Wenger's last game in charge of Arsenal, and his two successors are playing each other in a game Arsenal absolutely need to win. So there's no way we're winning. I'm sort of written that off already. Genuinely, the thing that gives me the most hope is Emery bottling it, because that's the only reason really we have a route back into the game. He sort of bottled the halftime substitutions in the first leg. Never really should have brought on Coquelin, although he did play quite a good pass to give Moreno a decent chance. My only hope for tonight is that he does what he did really at Arsenal, respects the opposition far too much, to the point where he completely sacrifices any sort of game plan he would go into the match with and clams up, plays really defensive. And we sort of just have to hope that we can take advantage of the fact that their back four isn't really that good, especially on paper. And a sort of fit Aubameyang might be able to get some chances.
I didn't see the first leg. Who, in your opinion, between yourselves and Villarreal, who's actually the better side?
I don't know. On the night, we didn't deserve to win. Don't get me wrong. I didn't think we played well at all. You'd like to think it would be Arsenal, but I mean, Villarreal have been pretty solid this season. Any time I've seen them, the few sort of games in La Liga I've watched of them, they've been pretty decent, and they've got sort of quite an eclectic mix of sort of names you've heard of from the past. They've obviously got Foyth. Is he on loan there?
It is on loan with a view to being signed permanent, but now the special one has gone. Tottenham might bring him back now, if it's possible.
Yeah, they've got him. They've got Raul Albiol. Don't know if you've heard of him. Used to play for Madrid, then moved to Napoli, a few Spain caps. Paco Alcacer, who did pretty well on a loan spell in Dortmund. They've obviously got Moreno up front. They've got this really, really good winger, Chukwueze, who was the main sort of source of our troubles in that first leg. I called it out beforehand. It was so obvious that he was going to be able to exploit Xhaka at left back, and Arteta didn't change it. He still played Xhaka at left back, and that was sort of a real issue for us on the night. So I think I'd like to say we're better. I think we've got the better component parts, like individually. It's just how that sort of all knits together in a cohesive team is more debatable.
So you'll win and go through?
No, it'll be a 1-1 draw. Calling it now, we'll score early on. We'll have complete control over the game and give away, I'm going to guess, an 86th minute penalty.
It's because I know you're quite straight-laced and realistic about things, but is what you're saying, is it kind of systematic of Arsenal fans' views over a longer period going from, okay, home game at the Emirates tonight, would normally fancy yourselves to go and get the job done, to actually just going into these games now and fearing that the worst will happen?
I think there's an element of that. I think anytime you sort of hire a young coach, you expect there to be teething problems. And part of it is not, you're making an investment in them as a manager, and you're expecting, okay, we'll have some speed bumps, we'll hit some issues, there'll be learning experiences, but there is that expectation that that manager will learn from them. And something that I've sort of been quite consistent on throughout is thinking that Arteta is a very good coach. He struggles a little bit with in-game management, not only in how to sort of coach his players in a game, I think. Because you see him on the touchline, he's really aggressive and he's shouting constantly. And there's an element where you think, oh, well, Pep does that, so it must be good. I don't think that's always the case. I think something he's learned from Pep actually is that sort of over-management, that overthinking. Trying to be two steps ahead of the opposition sometimes, especially if it's a sort of a personal rivalry. Interestingly, the two times we've seen a huge example of this, and this is something which, going back to your question, is, I think, quite consistent amongst Arsenal fans, this overthinking narrative. Two times we've seen that most clearly is when there's been a bit of a personal sort of narrative around the game. So obviously away at Man City, Willian played as sort of a false nine striker, completely unnecessarily. Willian was terrible that evening. And then in the first leg against Emery, there's that sort of heir to Arsene kind of narrative going on in the background. And Emile Smith Rowe never played as a sort of false nine, if you want to call it that, before. And that's what he was effectively deployed as on the night. So that is definitely a consistent thing amongst Arsenal fans. And then back to that sort of in-game management, the substitutions, they happen too late. They're often bizarre. And that's something you would hope a coach would learn from. And it's a concern to me that in the first leg, I still felt the substitutions weren't right. And sorry to keep rambling on about a Europa League game that no one really cares about, but Dani Ceballos got a needless yellow card, and you could see he's always that kind of player who plays on that kind of egotistical edge. He always he thinks he's better than he is, and he should have been taken off at halftime, and he wasn't, and he got a red card, and you could say that cost us the game, cost us the tie, but I'm actually very glad he won't be playing in the second leg.
I actually saw on my timeline on Twitter, I happened to be glancing, and I saw two tweets consecutively say Ceballos needs to get off the pitch here because he's going to get sent off, and then went back 2 minutes later and he was off.
Yeah, no, he's he's got an inflated sense of his own ability. He thinks he should be playing for Real Madrid, and quite frankly, if he wants, I would have been perfectly happy if he had stayed in Spain after that first leg. I don't really want to see much more of him in an Arsenal shirt. A bit fed up, really.
I think Real Madrid are trying to sell everybody that's not part of their first team, unfortunately, mate. But yeah, it sounds like you probably won't be buying him on a permanent. If you don't go through tonight, is it likely to turn from the fan base on Arteta a bit? I know, obviously, a lot of the off-field stuff's obviously focused towards the Cronkies at the moment. But I got a sense after the Everton game, where it was obviously the empowering protest before the game, after the game, once it calmed down, I felt a sense of, I'm a bit tired with this from Arteta, from Arsenal fans. Is that likely to turn a bit if it goes wrong tonight, do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Because if if slash when we go out tonight, that's the season's done, really. And if you think about it, all we're playing for now is Champions League football or nothing. Like that's what our season really boils down to. I think part of the crunky out protest is it's because it's not the fact that they haven't spent money. If you look in recent years, you can't argue that because Arsenal have spent money. What's happened is we've spent it poorly because the Cronkies have, part of the issue there is they have allowed constant mismanagement to occur throughout every level of the football club. They don't care about the on-the-pitch performance. So really, they don't care who runs it. They don't care that Rouse, and yeah, he has a dodgy contract book and he'll slip 50 quid to an agent to get Willian.
50 quid.
It's expensive to some of us, you know.
In cash as well.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. A brown paper bag with a sort of, yeah, all that kind of stuff.
The George Graham special, mate.
No, yeah, exactly. Taking down the pub, sort of getting drunk. part of the big issue is that fans know that they don't care about the on-the-pitch performance of the club. They've allowed systemic mismanagement to occur. So what you're hearing is, interestingly, quite a lot of noises that Arteta's job is under review at the moment. There's talk, it's nonsense in Italy that the Sarri is being sounded out. So effectively what I think they're doing is the Cronkies are putting these noises out there, or the management is putting these noises out there on their behalf, that they're considering Arteta's position to make it seem as though they're taking an interest in the club. But from the fans' perspective, absolutely. Arteta out will be trending tonight. It will probably be trending before kickoff, to be honest. But if we go out, it definitely.
Do you want him to be your manager if you get beat tonight next season?
I honestly don't know. It's such a hard, it's a real, real hard one. Cause I think I said on the last two COTCs that I've been on, if we're sat here this time next year and Arsenal are still in 10th, I'll be pissed off. It's not good enough. I didn't think I would be, I'm not angry.
I'm disappointed. I'm
just disappointed. Yeah, no, genuinely though, I am. Cause I can see there's so much about this team that gives me reasons to be optimistic. We've got an excellent crop of young players. There's things I see from Arteta in the sort of tactical nuances that he tries to deploy, and I do believe he is a good coach. I just think he's quite stubborn. My preference would be to keep him for next season, but I really think it's important that we get an experienced coach alongside him, like a good number two. I think he needs a sounding board, because I think that's what he provided for Pep. I think he was someone who wasn't afraid to sort of push back on Pep a little bit, to challenge him a little bit. So I think he needs that kind of person. And I worry that the infrastructure at the club isn't there for that person to be appointed without Arteta's sort of divine intervention, kind of seal of approval type.
Ted, to come on to you to give you a say in kind of some off-field matters, if you will. Florentino Perez said a couple of weeks ago that he knows who the 40 protesters were outside Stamford Bridge before the game against Brighton. Can you tell us who took 40 Chelsea fans to Stamford Bridge that night?
That's the first I've heard of Perez.
Have you not heard that quote?
No. I don't understand that, man.
Harry, John, Phil, Mark.
That man is just utterly delusional, isn't he? I don't understand him.
There's been some good movements from Chelsea as a football club since that night against Brighton. I know you were keen to point out to me that the protesting was really against Bruce Buck rather than obviously Roman Abramovich. Is there still a feeling from Chelsea fans that they'd like Buck to go, or is it, okay, you're moving in the right direction, we'll forget about this now?
I haven't seen much talk about it for a bit now. That's a good point. I think fans would like Buck out, but I can't see it happening, to be honest. I think he's secure in his spot. I think people are going to sort of forget about it now and move on, especially with the last night's win. Everyone's mind's on other things now.
Yeah, no, I get that. And obviously there was an announcement the night before as well that there will be dialogue with fans. They want to get some fan representatives to have three or four meetings a year with the board and stuff.
Yep, so there'll be three fans from the club who'll be elected to sit in on these boards. They can't vote. They can't talk about it outside of the meetings. But, I mean, it's a start. It means we have a voice in those meetings, which is a good start.
Can I just say something quite cynical here?
you will.
Shockingly. I don't think it's a surprise that Chelsea are the first to act on this, because if you think of... I think the owners that are most likely to immediately instigate this sort of fan representation are those owners who effectively use the club as a laundering operation for their own reputation. Effectively. Because that's what it is for Abramovich. That's what it is.
That is cynical, you're right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if City were the same, because if you think about it, that's their main reason for getting in Abramovich, let's be honest. There's probably some slightly other financial loophole stuff that he is using the club for in terms of, anyway. But it's a reputational operation for them, and for City's owners.
I think, that's got to be a factor. It has to be, but I'm not sure it's the only reason. Abramovich loves football, and I think the City owners love football as well. And I think it's a big part of Roman's ownership is he loves that the fans love him. And I think that's an important thing for him. So when he saw it sort of going away from him, you know, they came out with the PR stories that they were just doing it because they didn't want to lose out or whatever. If you're going to tell me that a billionaire is going to turn down a couple hundred million or whatever was offered, you're mad, because there's no way that he like fought anything else other than sort of dollar signs. But I don't think it is just reputation. I mean, he does love the club and he loves football. I got to give him credit there.
To be fair, Adam, at least
he loved the club so much he was 30 seconds away from buying Arsenal before he bought Chelsea.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's completely different, isn't it? I mean, you wish you'd bought him, but yeah. I mean, it's different from like the Glazers, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, the Glazers probably didn't even know they were playing Liverpool until the protests happened.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that. I'm not saying that they don't care about football, but what I'm saying is that, if anything, maybe the opposite, I don't think the Glazers, I know the Cronkies don't, to an extent, FSG, they don't care about what people think about them, if that makes sense. I think FSG do slightly more than the Cronkies and the Glazers. But they don't really care what the fans think. But I think Chelsea, Abramovich and the sort of City ownership group, they do care about what the fans think, but they also care about what the wider perception of them is.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair comment, yeah.
But to push back, Adam, to be fair, Abramovich is there most of the time, isn't he?
When he's allowed in the country, sure, yeah.
Do you think the Cronkies are sell-up? Because we know there's an interested party, and obviously Spotify's Daniel Ek.
Yeah, no, and that...
Sort of Omri, Vieira, Bergkamp potentially on board with that as well.
No, they are on board, definitely. And even talk recently, I've seen that Arsene Wenger might be brought in some capacity as sort of a sporting advisor role. That is more serious and legitimate than I gave it credit for, to be fair. So I'll hold my hands up and say that I didn't think it was serious at all. But they have spoken to the Arsenal Supporters Trust already. And the impression the Arsenal Supporters Trust got was that this was very serious. And obviously, you can sort of only tell how far can you trust a billionaire's word. But it's more serious than I ever gave it credit for. Will the Cronkies sell? I think they were open. I know they were open to selling a couple of years ago. And no sort of buyer emerged at the time. I still don't think it will happen, but I think a bid will be put in if it hasn't already. So once that happens, and if public momentum gets behind it, the Cronkies haven't really ever reacted to public momentum in the past with any of their other sporting franchises, so I'm not sure how much of a difference it'll make this time. But I don't think the backlash to them previously has ever been this sort of concentrated in vitriol.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, unlike sort of what's been happening with United, where it's been going on for a long time, that was a massive tipping point change, obviously, to trying to join the Super League, where I think Arsenal fans, yeah, enough now. Absolutely have to speak up now. Let's talk football again, on pitch matters. Ted, Chelsea FPL players, how many in your squad at the moment, my friend?
Zero.
Any intention to add to that?
Not really. I'd hold if I've got them, but I wouldn't buy any.
End of podcast. Adam, have you got any Chelsea players at the moment?
I just sold Azpilicueta last night.
Oh, early transfer. At least you got the fixtures.
Yeah, exactly. I had the exact money for, what was it, Azpilicueta, Diaz and Son to Maguire, Cole, Walker-Peters and Salah. And I couldn't be bothered to wait. So I just did it last night.
So the only one with a Chelsea player is me. I've got Rudiger. I'm thinking, Ted, to move to Maguire. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, seems reasonable to me. Triple game week. Got to have fun with it, haven't you? Not exactly.
I guess the way I'm looking at it with Rudiger is there's a fair chance he plays against Man City, and then with the Arsenal game 3 days before the FA Cup final, he doesn't play against Arsenal. Is that a fair assessment?
It's fair, but I wouldn't want to put money on it because anything could happen. All of those defenders could be rested at any point, and I don't know which one will get rests where.
You're great help. Thanks, mate.
I know. It's useless, isn't it? But, you know, even Azpilicueta isn't nailed and is now sort of pushing into that right wing-back spot. You know, Christensen, can you really see him playing all those games? I don't know. Thiago Silva certainly won't. You've got Zouma trying to get minutes in there. It's just, like, what are you meant to do? If I had one of these defenders, if I had a Rudiger, I would be tempted to keep him just because I think they can keep clean sheets against anyone.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I think he'll play most games, but I don't think he'll play all games. But he might play all games. I just don't know.
I'm not worried about all games. I'm just worried about the next two games, Ted.
Yeah, it's fair. It'll definitely be playing on my mind. And if you can get someone like Maguire, who will, I think, probably play all three, it's hard to say no to that, isn't it? It's hard to say no.
Well, he's definitely going to play at least two, isn't he? Unless he was to pick up an injury. And I think he's played every minute for Manchester United this season. So that's the one, yeah, you kind of feel like, is it possible that he could play all three? Personally, I think Solskjaer should be mad if anybody, including the goalkeeper, plays all three games for them. But I think Maguire's one you could definitely look at and say, yeah, he probably plays at least two. He probably plays Villa and Liverpool if he only plays the two games, I would have thought. And they'd rest for Tuesday. But again, that's reading between the lines. Like a lot of people, Ted, have been reading between the lines that this Saturday, City and Chelsea are both going to change their teams because they won't want to give anything away for the final. That's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, both teams have got ridiculous depth of squad. So I think, change is going to be inevitable, right? But I think it's very much... Chelsea certainly want to pick up 3 points there. That'd be big for them. And, you know, City are going to want to secure the title. I'm not fully sure. Do United play first?
No, City play first. If City win, they'll be championship.
Okay, so they'll be going for it, won't they? So I don't see why people are going to try and meta-think this or get a bit too crazy with it. I think we'll see pretty much strongest teams with some rotation for fitness issues.
Mendy is going to obviously be in a lot of people's teams, including Sudges, I know. Yeah. I know we kind of give you a shout on the pod. Choose your thoughts are that he'll probably play the two league games. Is that fair?
I think that's the most likely, yeah. Typically with him, I was saying this on the Slack channel, so join if you haven't already, but usually it's the game after the cup game that Kepa will play, if he is to play one. So I very much doubt he'll play the one before on the basis that if he has a bad game, and if he does struggle, which is very possible, he could be under a lot of pressure in like a team like Arsenal. Then I don't know. I think then you're looking at, you know, would you then want to play him in a cup final? Because suddenly then you're coming with a keeper on low confidence and you're putting him into a high pressure situation. You could do huge damage there, but you've really backed yourself into a corner by saying he's your cup keeper. So I think it's better to give him the cup. If he plays bad, you can get him out of the limelight. Doesn't have to play again in the season. If he plays well, brilliant. You could even stick him in the next Premier League game to try and build on that. We'll have to see.
I take it you think you'll finish top four?
Yes.
What would alarm you in any way? I mean, say like if you lose on Saturday and then West Ham win on Sunday, they go level with you, and they've on paper got the better fixture running than yourselves. Surely there's a chance.
I mean, there's a chance, yeah, but I'd back ourselves to keep performing. I think, I mean, Leicester aren't safe. They'll be looking over their shoulders. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I'm not that stressed. I mean, if we were to lose to City, I mean, we lost to City. I mean, it's not a big deal, and they're such a good team. So I'd still be reasonably confident for the rest of it because I think we can beat anyone.
I'll remind you of it's not a big deal if you lose to them in a Champions League final, mate.
That's different. That's different, that one. You probably won't hear from me either.
There are echoes of 2012 as well, and the fact that manager sacked midway through season. I think I saw last night, even in 2008, obviously Mourinho was sacked and Avram Grant was brought in the year you lost United in the final. And obviously in 2012, you got to the FA Cup final as well, won both competitions, beat Liverpool in the FA final, and then obviously beat Munich in Munich. Is there any priority at all in that FA Cup final, or could we get there and be really surprised that Chelsea have picked a weaker team against Leicester specifically, I'm talking about, in the FA Cup final?
What is a weaker team for Chelsea? Do we have a strongest 11 at the moment? It's a bit all over the place, especially in that front three.
I think you probably have a core of 13, 14. Like, you know, there's certain players, Pulisic or Werner or Havertz, for example. But sort of between, and there's obviously other ones like Christensen. But I think we're getting an idea now of roughly what that strongest team is. It certainly involves a core of 14 or 15 players. I think things like, for example, Zouma playing in the FA Cup final currently would be a surprise.
Yeah.
Billy Gilmour is a player I know you really like, and I think everybody who's seen him really likes, but it would be a surprise if he played the FA Cup final. That's the sort of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, that would be a surprise to see any of them, I think. I can't see it happening.
So you think quite strong then, probably, for the league games coming
up? Yeah, I don't see why not. We've got the depth, we've got the strength of the squad. So, yeah, why not give us rest when it's needed? But
so why not take a punt on a Havertz or a Werner for the double then?
Because I don't know how many goals we'll score.
How many goals do you think you'll score? Zero
across
plus
the double.
Zero plus how many against Arsenal?
I think you might be looking at like two on average, probably. And I think there'd be no surprise if Werner was to play one and not the other, or Havertz was to play one or not the other. I mean, Havertz on a bit of a weird schedule. He's sort of playing every other game, but now he's played two in a row. So will he now be rested next one? I don't know. It's just like too much uncertainty for not enough benefit.
It's defensively where we should be looking at this now. I think for those who are already thinking about next season, I'd probably urge not to. But I think most of us probably in our mind right now are thinking, well, if it carries on like this, I'm definitely starting with a Chelsea defender start next season.
Yeah.
If you were to go and buy one today, price irrespective, for specifically the double, who would you buy?
I should start by saying, I mean, I don't see the benefit of having a Chelsea defender for the double, given the fixtures, given
really
the alternatives.
Sold. Thanks, mate.
Yeah. We then have a blank, and then we've still got more tough games the rest of the season, so I don't really see the point. If I was to pick one, ignoring price, I guess Azpilicueta, I guess.
You don't look sold. You don't look convinced about that. All right, Ted, let me rephrase the question, because there's a lot of people on free hit now.
Yeah.
Potentially. Would you, I mean, there's obviously, I think you'd probably go six United and Liverpool to start with. Would you expect to add Chelsea to that if you were on a free hit? If you were on a free hit this week, do you think you'd have any Chelsea players?
No.
Not even Mendy?
No, I think there's three keepers ahead of him. I'd look at Henderson, Guaita and Pickford all ahead of him.
Right, Ted, thanks for joining today's podcast. I'm now going to talk to Adam. Ted said to us off camera, the first thing he wanted to ask was about Rob Holding. So I think best place to start, Adam, might be, because I saw a tweet yesterday where you said to someone, I don't know if you were joking, get Chambers. Is Chambers likely to play rather than Holding at centre-back tonight? Is that what you were alluding to there?
It's what I would want. David Luiz shouldn't play. I don't think he's fit enough. And with the possibility/probability that Kieran Tierney could play, that means Xhaka shouldn't play left back, Xhaka should go back to midfield. And so then we need someone who can distribute the ball in that back line. Arsenal have to be aggressive, to use one of Emery's favourite terms. Arsenal have to be the protagonists. So I think Bellerin should play at right back. And then you're looking at someone needed in the centre to be able to sort of distribute the ball from the back. And Callum Chambers is simply much better on the ball than Rob Holding is. I thought he did pretty well in the, 40-ish minutes he played against Newcastle. It was against Newcastle, but I thought he did pretty well there. And in general, I've just been really impressed with how he's adapted to the different positions he's had to play and sort of pretty much come out of nowhere to solidify himself. I think he's been one of the sort of big surprises of this second half of the season for me personally. So yeah, I would like to see him start tonight. That probably means if that happens, he wouldn't start at centre back, sort of in the Premier League though. So for FPL wise, it's a bit dicey. Weirdly, Arteta seems to really not trust Cedric.
Because he covered really well in the January period.
Yeah, no, I thought he did as well. I'm honestly not sure. I can't really explain it, to be honest. I think there is a chance that Callum Chambers could play in the Premier League regardless, because if you think about Kieran Tierney just coming back from injury, if he starts tonight, he probably won't be able to make the full 90, so he's going to have to come off. You'd be suicidal to risk him in the first game of the double game week. So you're probably going to see Cedric deputise at left back. Bellerin hasn't really had a consistent run of games, so he's just played against Newcastle. He plays 90 again tonight. Are you going to want to start him again at the weekend? Probably not. So I could see Callum Chambers playing tonight and still the first game of the double.
Ted, did that help you with Rob Holding?
It makes me a little bit more nervous than I was.
The big question is, do you think Arsenal won't keep a clean sheet against Chelsea because we both know Olivier Giroud is going to score. do you have that much faith in the Arsenal defence in general?
I'm on bench boost. I need him to play. I'll take what I can get.
He won't play both games.
Surely what Ted would be looking for, and this goes for other people with Holding, would be not to play tonight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, that would be the ideal.
If he doesn't play tonight, there's a strong possibility that he then plays the good fixture against West Brom at home on Sunday.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't play at Chelsea, you're probably not bothered, Ted.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I don't want him to play tonight.
This isn't making Ted feel better.
No. I'm not thinking whether it's worth like holding for one game against West Brom or should I take a hit for him for someone else?
The classic thing is, if you look at his price, depending on your budget, how many other players are you going to be able to get in that have a double game week? Or if it's a single game week, if you're on bench boost like yourself, Ted, that have a good fixture at all?
Yeah, I think you've got Nat Phillips if you don't own him. Could be a shout, but given
that's a great point.
I've already got him, I've got about 1.2 mil to spend on top of him. I've got a bit of freedom, but it's still, there's not many defenders going at the moment, is there, that they're that good?
But if you want the solidity of starts, Phillips, Konsa, if you want to go up a little bit, Joel Ward at Crystal Palace, there are some options, which I think would tempt to say Ward would probably do you the job, Ted. Were you playing in the double, playing with 36, benching for 37, 38? It's probably the sort of thing you're looking for, I imagine, anyway. So I think for a hit, probably I'd keep rather than sell. I think if it's free transfer, I'd move it on, mate.
Definitely wait for tonight.
Yeah, there's definitely clues to be learned from tonight. Are we expecting Leno to play tonight, Adam?
Yes, although I then wouldn't expect. I think he'll miss out one of the Premier League games.
He won't play against West Brom, will he?
No. But the thing is, there's another Arsenal player sounding off in the media. Shock at that. There's some stuff going on with him that is not disquieting, but like if he moves on in the summer, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I've heard rumours of Chesney coming back.
Yeah, no. That's sort of like media speculation that he's sort of putting two and two together and probably making five that Juve want a new goalkeeper.
Yeah, Donnarumma potentially, from Milan, yeah.
Which is harsh on Chesney because he's been pretty good there. And Chesney wants to leave. He's an actual pretty big Arsenal fan. As you'll probably remember, James, he mocked you a fair bit back.
He's not a fan of us. I mean, to be honest, the first thing I always think about with Chesney is him smoking in the showers at Southampton.
Southampton,
I think. Yeah. He lost 4-0.
God, I get everything wrong. Which time was it we lost 4-0? Cuco Martinez scored that absolute beauty. Boxing Day.
Boxing Day, spot on.
Christmas.
It's good for me. I got battered that night.
Yeah, put it away. What were we talking about? Goalkeepers. Leno will miss one of the games. Matt Ryan's been really good. Been really impressed with him. Interestingly, I was doing some little digging on his numbers because I know there was a lot of talk from Brighton fans and in the stats community about how he was like the worst. Was it goals XG, goals prevented kind of differential?
It was bad. At one stage, he conceded 10 goals for 15 shots on target, I think, at the start of the season.
His that per 90 goals conceded XG differential has reversed since he joined Arsenal, so it's now like back at level. So he's done pretty well, and he looked, for someone who's the same height as me, pretty much, he looked really commanding in
bullshit.
The air.
I've met you.
Yeah, the listeners haven't, James. Okay.
Adam must definitely still be single the way he's talking.
Could be like a hulking 6'4" unit, but they don't know that. No, he's like 6'1"?
It's taller than you, mate.
All right, he's a little bit taller than me. Besides the point, he was quite good in the air against Newcastle, and I was surprised at that. And there is, I think we'll sign him on a permanent deal in the summer. And as a number two, I'd be pretty happy with that.
Number two, yeah, absolutely fine.
He's a mile better than Renison.
So if you've got Mendy and Leno, I think that would be a weird combination. Most people have got Mendy and Leno seem to have forced a with, which is what I've got at the moment. And it appears from quotes from last Friday, which most people seem to have missed because of the social media blackout, that Hassan Hüttl said that Forster would play the next two league games. So I'm just going to play Forster over Leno, Adam. That's the right thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I think to be honest, if you've got Leno, I feel slightly bad for you because you're kind of in a difficult situation. Because like I've got Emi Martinez and Johnston, and it's just this constant. It feels silly to have two relatively solid goalkeepers, one of which you're always going to leave out. But I've just constantly got other things that I'd rather be sort of dealing with. And I imagine that's the case for yourself as well. It's like Leno is sort of a problem, but not a big enough problem where you think, right, I need to focus all my attention on this, especially if you've got someone like Forster who is also in contention to play.
I went with Leno because I was so worried about Holding once David Luiz returned. David Luiz is now injured again. You're saying Holding might come out the team anyway. So, but he's not done me. Whoever's gone down either route, Leno or Holding, or even worse, Cedric, it's just ended up in the shit. It's just not been worth it getting Arsenal players. I presume, Adam, you're not going to advise any of the attacking assets for the double, or would, say, if Aubameyang didn't start tonight and he went with a false nine again, would that tempt you for the double to know he'll definitely play West Brom on Sunday?
No. Because if we start with a false nine again, I'd think Arteta's lost it, to be quite honest. No, I wouldn't. He said himself he's only sort of 90% physically fit. So I think if he's not fit enough to start tonight, I don't know why. He's come back off malaria. The league is of no real consequence to us at this point. Why would you play?
He's not going to play tonight, Sunday and Wednesday, is he? That seems like a certainty.
No.
Yeah, I think he probably wouldn't play on Sunday, would he? They'd just go with Nketiah up front. I think on Sunday is probably the most likely, isn't it, maybe?
Yeah, it could be. I think there's a chance if he plays tonight, he'll do sort of 70-ish minutes. I could see Martinelli. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think Martinelli will start tonight as much as I'd like him to. So I could see Martinelli starting at the weekend. He could be an interesting shout. He's got a good history. He's about 12 against Chelsea, but you know, scored against them previously. So you never know. He could be a good punt. I'd say he gets minutes wise probably 120 across the two games.
That's potentially, he's 4.9. You've actually got three midfielders who I think, for whatever reason, if they didn't start tonight, would maybe interest people, I think, particularly on a free hit. I think, unfortunately, because both of you both blanking 36, it feels really difficult to buy your assets unless you are free hitting in 36. But Saka, it's 5.1, Smith Rowe 4.2, and obviously Martinelli 4.9, are all potentially interesting, I think, maybe for free hitters. I mean, Smith Rowe, I think he's probably going to be in a majority of free hit teams. He's just going to be sitting on the bench, I would have thought. Martinelli on a free hit, if he doesn't start tonight, you think 120 minutes or so. Would you prefer that over Saka?
Yeah, because I don't think Saka... I think Saka will play 90 tonight and then won't start the weekend.
Are you expecting mass rotation Sunday, basically, against West Brom?
It would make sense, really. Like, if you think... So, say Saka, Smith Rowe and Odegaard start tonight, you could easily field Pepe, Martinelli, Willian, or you could play Ceballos because he's suspended. Ceballos will play on Sunday, so you could play those three and sort of, obviously it's a drop off, but like I said, the problem is that the league essentially doesn't really matter.
Well, the good news, everyone, is we've got Southampton and Crystal Palace on tomorrow's Clash of Correspondents. Probably going to find some more interesting FPL assets there with FPL Gaffer and Migtavious, I think. Can I ask you both, before we finish up, just obviously we've got a very rare situation here with Manchester United treble game week. Ted, what's your thoughts on United players for FPL at the moment? What have you got and what's your kind of thinking at the moment?
I've currently only got Bruno, who I'll captain now. I think that it's a little bit misleading in the fact that... Oh, lost my headphone. None of them are going to play all three, right? I think Maguire is possibly the only one you're looking at for that. I'll probably buy Henderson in goal now, and I'll probably also buy Maguire. I've got two free transfers, and that'll probably be the two moves I make.
Do you think Henderson will play all three?
I'm not a United fan, so I can't say.
It just seems to be an assumption it's going to play all three, but I would have thought De Gea probably plays one somewhere, doesn't he? I would have thought.
Henderson's played the last, what, 8-9 league games in a row? I was reading through rumours and I saw that De Gea's set to leave the club in the summer or something. So, I mean, if he was to play all three, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm buying him with the expectation he'll probably only play two, with the chance he'll take three. I'm right with that.
The other thing I'd be a little bit cautious of people actually buying Henderson is, obviously, the last games are in front of fans, particularly if United get to the Europa League final. What's to say De Gea won't play at home to Fulham in their last home game, which is another game you're definitely, if you buy, you're definitely going to want him to play in most scenarios. I'd be a little bit conscious of that as well.
Is that likely to happen?
That's in game week 37. Well, I just think if De Gea is likely to leave, probably want to give him a send-off in front of a few fans, won't they? I mean, it's been, for the majority of the period, it's been very good for them, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how much did the United fans like him. Are United fans, after so long away from the club, will they be more eager to see Dean Henderson playing for them? I don't know. I really don't know. I am buying him under the assumption I need him to play the last 2 weeks. I need him to play 37, 38. I've got Martinez for 36, and I was looking for a decent double keeper for bench boost in 35. And for me, Henderson ticks all those boxes, so I'm happy to go with it.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So I was going to say, you could say there's equally a chance that De Gea plays tonight. Because this game...
Yes, true.
You've already got a pretty hefty advantage. If we're expecting some rotation, that seems like a pretty easy place to easy place to do it.
A little bit like with obviously yourselves, Adam, what happens tonight's going to be quite crucial, because I think for yourself, Ted, sitting there with Fernandez, I don't think you can overlook it. I'd be doing the same, just stick the armband on him and get on with it. But if you got a break tonight, Fernandez and Maguire and other players, you'd feel a bit better about it. I don't think they'll go completely kamikaze and change all 11 tonight, in case if suddenly they're in a position they're 2-0 down at half time, they'll start worrying if they've changed the whole team. So I think a lot of them will probably still play tonight. What's your thoughts on United assets, Adam? Oh, you've already made your transfers, haven't you?
Yeah, no. But I did that in the mind of Maguire. Maguire's played every game this season. He's sort of the linchpin of that defence. So, I mean, whether he played tonight or not wouldn't really have factored into my thinking. I still, if he plays 90 tonight, I'm not going to worry. So, yeah, it was... I was debating him or Shaw, and then I just thought, well, there's the chance. I don't think Shaw will play all three games.
No, Alex Tellez will play one when he's sure he's not to.
Definitely. And then you sort of, outside of that, considering people like Mason Greenwood, again, how certain can you be that he'll play all three games? I basically just thought, if I'm going to take a hit for this player, which I had to, I wanted to get the one that I was most confident would play every game. And I've got Bruno Fernandes and Harry Maguire, and they're the only two that I think will... Bruno could get rested in one of them, but he'll play a part. I'd be shocked if he didn't play a part.
He'll start at least two.
Definitely. Whereas even someone like Rashford's had some sort of niggling injuries this season. Wouldn't be surprised if he sat out one... Greenwood the same, Cavani. You never really know with him. I've had some bad experience.
It's amazing the dynamic that normally we go into a double game week. It's like, are they going to play twice? And now we're having a conversation going, oh, he's only going to play twice. It's amazing the dynamic around it, because you really want, because it's such a rarity, you really want the player that's going to play the three games, don't you? Can I ask Adam, and actually this goes for you, Ted, as well, if you didn't have Bruno, would you consider captaining Maguire?
No, I think I'd probably captain. No, mainly because it feels a bit boring.
I like boring.
No, yeah, boring.
I've had 18 months of Mourinho. I got used to him.
I'd probably go for Iheanacho instead.
Okay.
I think owning Maguire, if you want to think about... sort of the differential in quotes aspect of it, owning Maguire is enough of a sort of relative differential, and Iheanacho has been on great form recently.
Would you consider it, Ted?
I'd consider it, but I think it'd be more a consideration out that he's got a triple game week, and I've never seen that before in all the years.
Well, I think that's the urge. I'm not going to get Bruno. I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to bother.
Do you have Salah?
Yes. So he's the one I'd go for. Salah, Iheanacho. I'm not convinced that I'd even go Salah over an Iheanacho, because looking at the West Brom game now 3 days before United, I'm now looking at going, there's every chance Salah doesn't play against West Brom. Admittedly, either way, he's still got one great fixture. But I'm also conscious that the way the fixtures have moved, it is a little bit better for Leicester now as well, because I thought they were going to rotate massively at Manchester United. They've now got obviously an extra day break before the FA Cup final with yourselves, Ted. And I think it's the most likely game where United are going to change the majority of their team. So I actually think now, from thinking 24 hours ago, United will probably put up a really good showing against a weaker Leicester team. I'm now thinking that Leicester will pick a stronger team than what I imagined, and it will be a very weak Man United team.
That's still very much is a possibility, though, that someone like Iheanacho or Vardy will miss that game.
Because
they will want to be full strength for the FA Cup.
You'd probably say Iheanacho misses that game. Weirdly, out of the two, you could think.
What Perez, United game? Do you think?
Well, Perez. I think Perez is more of a facsimile for Iheanacho than he is for Vardy. And if you think they're going to rest one of their, if they're going to rest one of their strikers, I think it would more likely be Iheanacho.
I'd back that. Yeah.
I'd see that the other way, actually. I just think because they would not want to lose Vardy ahead of the final.
Has Vardy ever been rested though?
I'd have to research that, Adam. It's a very good question. The answer to me, obviously, once since Iheanacho's got in the team, and obviously I think what's pivotal to that at the moment is Harvey Barnes being out, means they can stay with this kind of 3-4-1-2 system. He hasn't been rested either. So at the moment, I would expect obviously Iheanacho and Vardy to both play against Newcastle tomorrow night. My anticipation would probably be that Vardy would be a sub personally against United, would be my thinking. I've got both, by the way. I've got Iheanacho and Vardy, but I would definitely captain Iheanacho over Vardy.
Have you considered moving Vardy to Cavani?
No.
That of interest? No.
No. If I was going to do that, I'd move Kane on for a week and go back. And I wouldn't be worried about losing the value in Kane now, because there's so little time to go. If you can afford to get him back, just get him back. But what I'm thinking at the moment is, I think Maguire, for me, possibly for Rudiger. So it needs to be, ideally I'd go Maguire in for Reguilón, sounds obvious, but I don't want to leave myself short of too many players for 36, right?
And so I think that's the, sorry, yeah. No, I was going to say, that's the big consideration. Unless you're on a free hit, there's not, the thing is with Cavani and Greenwood, you've not got to think about it just in this week isolation. Obviously you've got to factor in the fact that there's the blank game week next week, and also is Mason Greenwood likely to start every week after that? I know there's not long left to go, but you don't want to be taking a points hit for this week only to leave yourself a man down sort of 2 weeks consecutively.
And presumably in game week 38, if United have got to the Europa League final, they really will rest the whole team at Wolves in 38. And presumably, Adam, that would be the same case for you against Brighton 3 days before the Europa League final if you win tonight.
Yeah, but we're not winning tonight, so we don't have to worry about
that. I wish you luck, mate. But if it doesn't go well, mate, I'd definitely be muting good evening on your timeline, mate.
Log off Twitter, delete the app. Throw phone in to see.
Speak next year. Let's do predictions before we go then. Ted, you've got Man City first. Prediction for that?
I will go 1-1 for that. It's going to be a tough game.
Arsenal game?
We lost the last one 3-1, didn't we?
You did not turn up, mate.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one. I'll go 2-0 Chelsea and try and be positive about it.
Adam, we know you're not going through tonight based on what you said. I actually think there's every chance you will, by the way. Prediction for the West Brom game?
A sort of pedestrian 1-0 win.
And for the Chelsea game?
A pedestrian 1-1 draw. I think in terms
of... in a draw at Chelsea, but thinks she won't go through tonight. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, because I think... I don't know. I think the mood... I think both teams will... Regardless of what happens with Arsenal tonight, our eyes will be on something else other than the league. And I think it's the same for Chelsea. I think this double game week might not in points wise, but I think spectacle wise, I think people might be surprised at how sort of slightly underwhelming it is. Like I don't know if we'll get a lot of great games, just because if a lot of the sort of key teams sort of have their eye half on something else.
I'm going to go for 0-0 at the Etihad, Ted. I'm going to go probably 2-0 to yourselves, Adam, on Sunday, and I think I'll go 2-0 Chelsea for the game Wednesday. And this kind of summarises my problem. Two difficult games, Ted. I've just predicted you for another two clean sheets, and I'm anticipating selling a Chelsea defender. This is what I'm saying. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, I can definitely see us keeping clean sheets, but I mean, when you add in risk of... There's a very good chance we won't keep any clean sheets.
Of course.
And there's a very good chance that Rudiger will only play one of the two. You've got to balance those odds, haven't you? And is it worth keeping him over a double game weeker?
Well, I don't think you can sort of overthink this too much. If you're looking at it, like just sort of on the face of it, you're playing, regardless of what you think of Arsenal, you're playing City and Arsenal, and you don't know which one of the games your defender is going to start. I don't think selling is too big of a... It's just from my perspective, selling Azpilicueta was a pretty easy decision for me.
I still think I'm going to do it. I'm just saying, I think there's clean sheets in there. Is it the right thing to do? That's all.
I can definitely see you going either way on it. I think if you keep it, you can't sort of vilify yourself if you get it wrong. If you sell him, it's the same deal.
The only thing I'll vilify myself about, Ted, is if Tottenham don't win at Leeds on Saturday, mate.
And that's a very good chance as well.
Yeah, depends on Calvin Phillips' fitness, I think.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll, Ted, do you think you'll beat City in the Champions League final? I'm interested.
I really struggle to separate my own bias for that one. I'm going to say yeah. I really like us. I think our style suits playing against City.
Because I do. I think I was saying to a group of mates of mine that it almost felt to me like sort of a rock, paper, scissors with the teams that were left in the Champions League. Like, I think City would have beaten Madrid, but I think you would beat City. And I think PSG would have beaten you. I don't know. I don't know how that sort of in my head, that's how I was thinking of it.
I think that's fair. I think if City try and play a high line against us, they could have some problems with some of our runners. I'd be interested to see whether they play like a false nine or what, because if they don't have any big presence in the box, I think that was a big problem for Real Madrid last night. In fact, having Benzema looked good, but on those times where he couldn't get on the ball and they were sort of getting into these attacking positions by the byline but weren't able to put it in the box, there was no real targets. I think if City do a similar thing where they play, I don't know, De Bruyne or Bernardo Silva, whoever plays false nine, I can't remember, they have a bit of a problem where we just sort of just block them out and they're just left passing the ball around in sort of the middle third. And then if they lose the ball and we catch them on the break and they don't have Fernandinho there for inexplicably not get yellow carded for an obvious foul, they could be in trouble. So yeah, I'll back us.
Do you think you beat United, Adam, if you win tonight?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No.
God, I don't understand you.
Wait, that's the thing. It's like there's something about... Arteta has a way of getting players up for, air quotes, the big games. If you look at our sort of, maybe not necessarily, well, we won the FA Cup last season. We should have 6 points on United this season. We beat Chelsea earlier in the season. The City game at the Emirates was an absolute farce from an Arsenal perspective. We beat Leicester away, should have beaten them at home as well. Arteta is quite good at building like a sort of siege mentality for these big games. And I think in a one-off battle, I think we would be able to beat them.
I couldn't decide when you were talking there if I wanted you to mention that you'd beaten us or not. I couldn't really make my mind up.
I said big teams.
I know. That's why I didn't know if I wanted you to say it or not. And as you were speaking, I thought he's not going to mention Tottenham, is he, you bastard? Well done, guys. Really, really appreciate that. You can follow Ted at RotationFPL on Twitter, and you can follow Adam at 3-5-2, as I mentioned earlier. Another COTC tomorrow ahead of the deadline, Southampton versus Palace, with FPL Gaffer and Migtavious. To the both of you, good luck in Europe. Good luck with your FPL teams at the weekend. Thank you again for your time. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.